Wow, shit.
Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, at Avengers Podcast. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us on YouTube. Watch the video version of this podcast, youtube.com/TheAvengers. We really appreciate you checking us out and looking at our pretty faces. Tell us we're pretty. We like that. But I'm just one of your hosts. My name's Brandon. I can't do it alone. Emmy, how you doing?
Feeling fantastic.
That was amazing. We both took our glasses off at the same time. That was crazy. Keith, how you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. You know, got a bit of back pain, but I my boss let me use his flip upside down table, so I'm like an inch tall.
Oh, feel great. Sounds kinky. Was it meant for back pain or was it meant for something else?
Didn't ask, but that's the reason I keep the job.
Oh, yeah. Got to stretch something out, don't you? All right. So that is, with that said, X-Men. I feel like I need to edit that.
What? For my sake?
For anything. Well, hey, I'm back. Inappropriate bullshit. X-Men 97, episode 7. We are here to spoil it. So if you have not listened to X-Men 97 at all, if you've not watched X-Men 97, especially episode 7, don't listen any further. This one's Bright Side or Bright Eyes? Bright Eyes.
Bright Eyes.
I'm thinking of
Mr. Bright Eyes.
I'm thinking of Killers. Confusing. The Killers. Mr. Bright Eyes. Amy's throwing up gang
Bright
signs.
Bright Eyes is also, what's his name? Simon Gatlinburg? Nope.
What's happening?
I have no idea. Right? I think she's having a show.
Bright Eyes, he's an artist that I liked a lot in college. I still like him a lot. Simon Oberf.
Oh. Well, he sounds really good. Yeah.
Shit. I'll throw in a reference too. Bright Eyes, like the son of Caesar from the Planet of the Apes movies. Boom.
Boom. Oh my gosh, that's great. Yeah. Well, she's out of her head.
Oberst.
And I'm doing just fine. Gotta be down, you know, because I want it all. So we will spoil it for you. Do not listen any further. Here we are. So, impressions. Keith, what did you think?
I do a sick walking.
No. God,
Keith. Oh, sorry.
We'll edit this out. Okay, let's try again.
Your conchu is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh.
Bless you.
Thank you.
All right. What did you think of X-Men 97 episode 7? I like saying that. What'd you think?
This episode hucked a lot at us at once. I'll be honest. No, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Wow.
It hucked a lot at us. And wow. Again, it's packed to the brim and it doesn't feel bloated or rushed. It's impressive as hell. And we got introduced to the real big bad behind it all. A mysterious character named Bastion, which we'll get into later. But yeah, this episode did not disappoint. It just never seems to. I'm really enjoying the hell of this series, and to know that this is a setup to three episodes that are going to cap off the season, and they're all named like part 1, 2, 3. Like this didn't feel like a setup episode. This felt like just balls to the walls still, which gotta love it. So
felt earned.
I was a big fan.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Emmy for last. Save the best for last. So I will go because I usually kind of, you know, I mean that like I want to shake it up a little. I like saving Emmy.
Shake it up.
Oh my God. Jesus. Taylor Swift needs to, this phase needs to be done. Keith, calm down.
This is my Taylor Swift era, actually.
Oh shit. Well, X-Men 97 guys, this show is wonderful. I was telling Keith before we hit record, it is wonderful seeing the X-Men again. And I don't mean to rattle anybody or piss anybody off. It's nice not seeing Wolverine and friends. It's nice seeing X-Men. It feels like this is a fully fleshed cartoon. It feels like, and to me, I know it was a cartoon back in the 90s, but you still had incredibly high expectations.
And even I'm going to go out on a limb and say, regardless of the final three episodes, I would consider this cartoon a success at this point, just because you brought this excitement back, similar to how Homecoming or even Captain America Civil War brought excitement back to the Spider-Man character. I honestly feel, at least for the diehards, this cartoon is bringing excitement back to the X-Men universe and the X-Men group of characters. So that's just my overall thoughts about the series heading into a three-part finale. This one felt just impactful, high stakes, exactly what Keith said. Didn't feel like we're setting up. It feels like we were earning these moments we're about to receive. And I really, really appreciated it. And I really think Cyclops, my boy, he was a badass. And if I could just cup his
what?
Cy balls with my hands.
I was getting ready to receive.
Oh, I was
singular though.
Oh,
Cy ball.
Oh, that's true. He only has one. I forgot about the accident. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, it was either way. I love this. I'm excited. I love the twists and turns. And I like badass Rogue who doesn't give a fuck. Sign me the fuck up. Fuck the patriarchy. Am I right, Emmy? And for that, I'm going to segue to one of my favorite people in the world. Emmy, what did you think of X-Men 97 Episode 7?
I was so excited today to see the aftermath. So excited. And I got to preface this with, I don't know dick about shit about X-Men. And I have a goldfish memory. Okay, you guys need to keep that in mind whenever I ask stupid questions. Don't come for me in the comments. I'm telling you right now, I don't know dick about shit. And goldfish memory. Okay. So I missed a lot of what was happening. I think I missed a lot.
Did you slow blink a lot during the show? What was going on?
No, I think I wasn't making connections that I definitely probably should have made. I think that,
like synaptic ones, like
yeah,
firing at the
no
bit of a pause where that connection okay. should be.
Yeah. My synapses were firing at the wrong timings. But
could not have been said better.
But damn, it was cool to watch. I was in it. I was really excited to watch it. I had a great time. But yeah, like I said, don't come for me in the comments. I'm letting you know right now. I don't know a lot about the backstory. As a casual viewer of this show, I'm enjoying it. Keith, I'm having a great time. Keith,
Sorry.
You got a question?
No, sorry.
Do you guys have any questions? That's what I do to my class.
I have a response, but
that's what I was going to say as the relative diehard. But yeah, go for it, Emmy.
Okay. I will say that I think part of my issues were in this episode, it was like I did it a little bit better, but Bastion, Gyrick, and there's another B one. And I'm.
Oh, Bolivar.
Oh, nope.
Trask.
Bolivar. There we go. Trask. Yep. Okay. I was going to call him Bastille. Knew that was wrong. They are all the same for me because they're all generic white baddies. And so, but this episode, I did figure out that Gyrick is glasses.
Would you consider Michael Bolton to be the same?
Mm.
Generic baddie?
Tell me how goodbye's supposed to
I mean,
Michael Bolton, what are you doing on the show? Jesus Christ. Anyway.
He is a baddie. He is a baddie. Jack Sparrow. But like, that's a different kind of baddie. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Anyway. He's a baddie daddy.
Would you slut drop for Michael Bolton?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
You pick up his quarters. Yeah.
Oh, man. That deep voice gets in me every time.
As long as there's a table for me to grab onto to get back up.
Help! Help!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I need a life alert if I'm going to keep slut dropping. But yeah, I think that was part of my confusion, but I figured it out by the end. Bastion's the unfortunate under the chin, and then Bastille.
Yeah. No, Bolivar Trask.
Is the other one. Drask. Trask.
So Trask makes the Sentinels. Gyrick was in the government, and he was like helping to fund the Sentinels. And this new guy, Bastion, we don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah. Okay. So Bastion, unfortunate, Gyrick glasses, and then Trask is the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And that's how I'll remember it.
There you go. For 5 minutes. Goldfish.
5 minutes. That's a lot of grace for me.
Sorry. Goldfish.
30 seconds.
Goldfish. Just remember it, guys.
I was going to say, the thing I love about X-Men not like talking down to its viewers in the sense that like they're bringing up stuff from the comics, and they are just, you're along for the ride, and it's your job to either figure it out or not. But if we lived in a time when you couldn't look stuff up after the episode, or we lived in, like, we just live in the perfect time for them to do that. And I think that was one of my favorite things of, I think it was Days of Future Past, is like a great X-Men movie in my mind, because it just throws a lot at you. And it's like, look, this is what the comics are like. Deal with it. We made a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't try to like simplify. It doesn't adjust the stories crazily. Like, it does take liberties, obviously. It wasn't, but now we're getting episodes that take the comics way more seriously, and as they should. It's awesome.
So I got a question, but before we get to that question, I want to get to Rotten Tomatoes. But Keith, you set us up really, really well. Emmy, what is our Rotten Tomatoes, friends? I'm assuming you want us to guess. I've missed a couple. I'm going to say 95%.
Keith?
I think we were at 98 and 95 for
98
audience.
93 last week.
Jeez.
Last week? Okay.
Audience scores are going down that much? Fuck that. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to say 98 for critics still, and maybe 94 for audience.
They never creep up, Keith. That's the one thing.
They never creep up? They never do. Motherfuckers.
I'm sorry.
They did not creep up. However, they say the everything. Same. Critics, audiences, IMDb, Google users, all of it stayed the same. This episode specifically on IMDb went up. Not up, but like it was rated
higher.
0.6 of a point higher than the last one. So this episode specifically is at an 8.9.
Wow. That's a hell of an IMDb. Wow. That's a great score.
That is.
That's a great score.
Yeah.
And if you could remind the listeners at home, what was Rotten Tomatoes last week?
Oh, sorry. So it's a 98% for critics. Audiences are a 93%. IMDb at 9.0, and 90% of Google users like this show.
Thank you, ma'am.
So once again, I think we marvel at the fact, it has stayed consistent. Thank you. I appreciate the. Yeah.
No, That's getting clipped.
Question I had for Keith is. Now that we feel, because I think that's the secret to a lot of these X-Men comics and shows and potentially movies, is there a chance now that we've seen the success of this show? I mean, critically alone, I mean, it just thumbs up across the boards. And we do live in an internet age where we can dissect it, whether through our own research, through YouTube videos, through a podcast. Hey, guys, you can divulge into these shows in ways that you never have before. And, you know, Emmy, if she was watching the show, she may say, oh, I'm going to go Google this. I'll be honest with you. I wanted to watch a breakdown, but I didn't have time. And I never do that. Genuinely, I don't. I've put enough together, and I don't like to piggyback off of other people's opinions, so I try to stay away from that stuff. But I really did. I was like, God, that was so much. You know, so do you think that this is maybe the way, instead of spelling it out? Because I feel like a lot of my criticisms for at least latter half MCU has been kind of almost a dumbed down storytelling at times, where it's like force feeding us, where, you know, it didn't feel that way previously. And I think maybe treating your audience with the respect, you know, that they will either, if they give a shit enough, they will find out, or that they already know. And let's just go. Do you think that may be a tonal shift through this animation that we may see through the MCU?
I honestly think my wife is a barometer for me for the casual viewer of superhero stuff. She's not interested in it. She's not looking it up like crazy. She likes her stuff, and she sometimes sees what I'm into. So when it's Marvel stuff or superhero stuff, we watched all of season one of Invincible last week, and we were both glued to it. We loved it. And I didn't expect her to want to watch the next one. And then we watched the next one. And it was great. And one of the big critiques she said afterwards, she's like, I think I liked it as much as I did because it wasn't wasting time on backstory. It was superheroes everywhere. And I didn't need to know exactly where they all came from or what was their origins. I just this is the world we're living in. Let's deal with the drama they're dealing with now. And that was just good storytelling. So I think the same thing is true for superhero fatigue or whatever you want to call it. We've got origin stories in the bag. We don't need origin stories. What we need is complex, interesting, dramatic storytelling with humor, obviously, as well. But just go from where we are here. Like, we're in the thicket already. Let's just see superheroes kicking ass and having crazy adventures. That's yeah, my thoughts.
To piggyback off of that, one, incredibly well said, loved that. Two, I really think if you want to explore more, for example, we see Storm just come out just kicking some major ass in the next X-Men movie. And we don't see, why is she being able to control lightning like that and the thunder and the clouds? What the fuck? Like, we don't need... Same with Spider-Man. Spider-Man, I think, kind of laid the blueprint, at least the MCU Spider-Man, excuse me, of, like, Ned, you know, Ned asking a bunch of questions. Who gives a shit? You know, like, my life has changed ever since then, you know, and this is why my Aunt May would freak out. Let's just go. Boom. Spider-Man action story. And similar to this, I think that's the way you go. And if you want to do that additional research, there's other movies, there's other comic books, there are things you can get your hands on to learn more about these characters, to entrench yourself into the character where, hey, I really fucking dig this person just because of their mannerisms, their actions, yes, their superhero abilities, the way they handle situations. And now I want to explore a little bit of that, and then maybe the comic book team gets a little rub as well, like, oh shit, now they're checking out this and they're checking out that.
Yeah.
Emmy?
Gets a little rub. I
I like the rub, you know? Sometimes I wish you guys...
Where is it?
I missed you for 2 weeks, and you guys didn't rub me one time. So, anyway. There's the rub. But no, I really feel like that. And I feel that's, I think, the future of this. Instead of trying to cram in a two-hour adventure or two-and-a-half-hour adventure, here's everyone's backstory, and here's the... Oh, there's a baddie, and oh, here's this... You know, it's too much. We talk about there's so much in superhero movies. There's so many superheroes. We get worried when we see, like, oh, Captain America Civil War. Is this going to be too much? Avengers, is this going to be too much? Think about from a plot standpoint, trying to tell a backstory, a villain origin story, and a hero's journey all together in a 2-hour story. That's too much. So, yeah, I would like to see that kind of translate a little bit, or maybe save some of those stories later on down the road when you don't need to. Or, in the words of Ryan Reynolds, a dramatic third act flashback.
I just like that line. Yeah. The X-Men lend themselves perfectly to the idea that you don't need origin stories. People just get powers at puberty.
Yes!
That's all you need to know.
Yes.
If you don't know that the woman named Storm who's controlling the weather, if you don't know what she does or how she does it,
you know.
I'm sorry.
You know, meteorologists are pissed off when she's in town. They're like, well, shit, it was supposed to be sunny. Fuck. Anyway, sorry.
I feel attacked, okay? All right? I said that I didn't know a lot, and you guys are like, this is why you should know. You should know. This is the stuff I do know, okay?
I would want, honestly, a Storm origin story of her experiences in Kenya before being recruited
for
the X-Men.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Make that happen.
But the X-Men getting their powers, you don't need to go through that anymore. It's explained.
There you
go. They don't need some big chemical reaction or some big bomb going off in order to explain it all.
Yeah. So. Or a snap going off.
Ha.
Just saying.
Yeah.
MCU prediction.
Yeah. What? Okay.
When the snap takes place, they even talk about it. Like, it sent shockwaves. I believe it was Rocket that was talking about that, like, when the snap took place. And so not a lot of people, but a little niche of people are like, oh, could this be an X-Men?
Niche.
Sorry. Could this be an X-Men origin here where a lot of this takes place right here? This is when a lot of them get their powers. Is the snap that little niche?
Niche.
Bitch. Bitch.
Niche, bitch.
Just remember that it doesn't rhyme with bitch, which is the thing you want to call her when she corrects you about the word niche.
Keith, niches get stitches. All right, so you shut your mouth.
Niches get stitches, Brandon.
Oh! So, all right. Well, do we want to just talk about how... I want to talk about one scene real quick. I'm sorry. Cyclops is a badass. He hung up on the president. Can I just tell you that my nerd boner, or noner as we call him, just went straight to the roof. I was so fucking stoked when he was like, Mr. President, I'm sure if these were human-like, you would be more interested in it. And he's like, hey, whoa, Cyclops, there could be someone elected who doesn't give a rat's ass about you. Watch your mouth. And he's like, oh, I already have watched my mouth. And he hung up. I was paraphrasing the whole fucking conversation, but it was basically that. And I fucking loved it. Anyway, Cyclops, Emmy, badass confirmed?
No. No.
You're a hater.
I am.
Okay.
Yep.
Can I say to stroke Brandon's ego, if I may, while watching the episode, this scene was happening, and my wife went, that guy sounds exactly like the guy you podcast with. She doesn't know any of your names, by the way.
Thanks, Katie.
Exactly like the guy you podcast with. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to love that you said that. This is 100%. That's his favorite character. Other than Cap, he's a super square and he'll love that you said that. And she was like, it shows, is what she said.
It shows. I don't know if that's I can't tell if that's a compliment or a diss, but I'm going to take it as disrespect. Watch your mouth, Katie.
She didn't say that last part. I'll be honest. She did not say that last part.
I'm joking. But no,
I did.
That. I love him. I'm very boring. I like the Leonardos. I like the Cyclops. I like the Captain Americas. I always have gravitated towards the people that are like, all right, come with me. Let's do this. Like, and so
you're a leader, and he is a good leader. And this is the best portrayal we've gotten. He was portrayed this way in the original series.
Yes, he was.
We haven't gotten a good Cyclops.
Well, let's
be honest. I love James Marsden. He would have been perfect had they written him well.
Marsden could have done something if they gave him a fucking script. They just chose not to at all. And they're like, hey, Hugh Jackman.
It was the Hugh Jackman show. Exactly. And I love Hugh Jackman.
He's fucking wonderful. But X-Men, you know what I mean? X-Men. Make Wolverine badass. But don't forget, the rest of them are amazing as well. So, or uncanny. I will say, Emmy, you have Cyclops here right in front of you, and Keith just said they're actually giving a good Cyclops story. They're giving a really meaningful power, and you are doing a square motion with your index fingers like a dickhead. You're just gonna say fuck him, like you're gonna shake him around.
Saying fuck him. He's not the most interesting character for me, and so like I get that you have the member Barry's connections to him. I get that. I'm glad that they're doing him a little bit more justice, but like
a little bit.
He's just boring to me. Like I'm sorry. I think I said it in an earlier episode. Like it's just like him and Jean together. It's just like, oh, okay. It's so opera drama. It's just so vanilla and so regular and just so
well.
He's a 2G
man. It's not spicy. It doesn't give me the flavor, you know?
If you're right, you're right. And if you're wrong, you're Emmy. So, you know, that's one of those things. So
will say he had a great line in this that was also kind of corny. I still liked it because it was very much Cyclops. He said, if Genosha looked more human, you'd be more interested in death tolls than the poles. He said that to the president. And I was like, that's so corny, but he rhymed.
All I heard was, Brandon, get ready to get wood because I'm going to make your day. And I was like, yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, it was so good. It was so good. I really appreciated it. I love that he reached out to that connection. Another thing we touched base on in our initial thoughts, Emmy, Rogue, literally going rogue and just kicking ass left and right. And we even see my boy, Captain America.
Speaking of squares,
if you're going to be a downer,
this is a square.
I'm not. I took very little notes on the parts of the episode that I was not interested in.
I took notes.
Shots fired.
Listen, Emmy, we're going to have a talk off air, but spoiler alert, you're off the fucking show. All right, there you go.
The fact that Rogue is showing her strength and takes down all of General Ross's defenses and her little like Dolly Parton?
Okay,
she's bashing Mega Tank into Mega Tank, and she's like, okay, like, that's so awesome.
She listened to Jolene one time and just went ape shit.
9 to 5. I know that's a different song, but like,
that's a real good one, though. She's like,
I gotta work 9 to 5 and fuck these men up.
Cyclops getting credit. Working 9 to 5. Anyway, yeah.
But no, okay. So that was Thunderbolt Ross. Yes.
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 I had suspicions, but animated is not my forte.
It says Ross and on his shirt. It says
looking
Ross.
That closely.
What the and fuck he says you? This place was built to withstand the Hulk. Well,
yeah. Okay. I understand that. I get that. But like, I feel like there's probably a lot of places that are built to withstand the
there's
Hulk.
There's a lot of people with the last name Ross that think of the Hulk all the time.
I thought
in a military uniform.
What's her name? What's Liv Tyler's name?
Liv Tyler's?
You just said
it. Yeah, you did.
What's her name?
Betty.
Beth. Betty Ross.
Betty Ross.
Betty Ross. Yeah, sorry.
Probably Beth Betsy. Also.
Betsy Ross is the person who did the flag. That's not right. That can't be right.
All I remember is Bruce.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway.
It's Betty.
Okay.
Keith. You broke Keith.
I thought she grew a killer mustache, okay? Like Bob's Burgers level mustache. That's what I thought. But the tanks, you call them mega tanks.
You just chose violence this episode. You just chose violence.
I had a great time. The tanks with legs, though, that really made me giggle. It was like Boston Dynamics was like, we're going to make a tank. Into it.
They're like, fuck rolling over things. We can walk.
Oh, yeah. And she takes out those tanks left and right. And then she also confronts Captain America and fucking throws his fucking shield. Like
Frisbee.
Yeah. It was great. I love that she just said, fuck it. You don't need this. And just chucks it into a mountain. That's going to take him some time. He can't fly.
I was going to say.
His day is ruined.
Well, no.
Looking for that.
No. Shit. Okay. Well, yeah, it may take him a little less time because he had the motorcycle parked out front. So there, it may get quicker than you think. I don't think just because he's on feet, he's like, well, fuck.
He'll drive get to the mountain. But honestly, it's like looking for a shield in a mountain, which I think it should be the new
needle in a haystack.
Exactly. Yeah. He doesn't have the Tony Stark magnetic return button on there anymore or at all.
So funny.
But the fans are already losing their minds seeing that he's in there. They're talking online about how this could lead to the comic book accurate like story of X-Men versus Avengers. So we might see that in season 2 or 3 of this show. I don't know. But there was a whole drama that happens with the two of them. So the two teams.
Well, okay. And when you say he's on Twitter, who's he?
Did I say he? I meant they.
I thought you said
everyone.
Oh, Twitter. Twitter as a whole.
People are buzzing on X or whatever.
But he even said, my team and I. Like, he alludes that the Avengers are happening. And oh my gosh, I would be so happy. But I am so happy we got the MCU the way we did. The first 23 movies, even on some pitfall moments, I still would never change a damn thing. Given that it gave us Infinity War and Endgame the way it did. So I wouldn't change a damn thing. But a part of me, it breaks my heart. And I know there may be resurrections, there may be alternate timelines, and we may still see this. Who knows? Captain America and Tony being gone. Iron Man. I just want to see the Avengers X-Men live action so fucking bad. Mm-hmm. And like proper Avengers. No offense, not the third incarnation of the Avengers. I want to see like straight up badass.
You know, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans.
Yes. Yes.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Gosh, and please.
James Marsden.
As weird as it is. James Marsden.
Less Marsden, maybe.
Maybe less Marsden. Hugh Jackman, 50-50 on, to be honest with
Glenn
you.
Glenn Powell.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That's my casting hopes.
Yeah.
For Cyclops. Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys know what OZT stands for?
Oh, my God. Glenn Powell was in a movie. He was in Anyone But You. I watched it last night. And I'm sorry. Guy is fine as hell. And okay, I'm in on that casting. Yes.
Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell. Yep. They love each other, but they don't love each other. It's a story
we've
told a billion times.
Go back and rewind. Please, if you're listening to this podcast right now, rewind it probably about 2 minutes and listen to Emmy realize That's who he was talking about. And listen to the delay. The delay when Keith says the name originally and then Emmy freaking the fuck out. It's not immediate. There's probably a good 45-second pause before the...
I thought you were freaking out because you were going to be like, I know exactly what OZT stands for. Because
he asked a question, and then she flips out about something Keith made a point about a minute ago. So
it wasn't that long ago. Okay, all right. Goldfish memory. I looked it up last night.
OZT.
Yeah, Zoom delay.
What does OZT stand for, Keith?
It stands for... Ozempic. Okay, you guys take your guess first. Ozempic...
Ozempic trials.
Yep. Zam T Swift.
Everyone, why is it that why would they make an acronym and just make the first word O? Both of you just guessed O as the first word.
Okay, sorry, it's short for Ozark. Ozark Zam T Swift.
So you're saying Ozark, OZ, and then another word starting with a Z. Sorry, you guys say Z. And then a T.
Canadians piss me off. They just really piss me off because they're like, oh, you say Z. No, motherfucker, you say Z. Let's get it right. Okay. There's a reason why the entire country of Canada is shaped like a toilet bowl. Just saying. Oh, I said it. I said it is because nothing's.
I thought it was like a dog with like a stegosaurus back.
Kind of.
No.
Kind of.
Yeah. Right. That's what I always saw when I colored geography class.
Emmy looks in pain. Are you okay, Emmy?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my maps app to work so that I can zoom out.
Tell me, doesn't
figure out what it looks like.
Wait, you're using Google Maps and then zooming out instead of just Googling Canada or North America?
Yeah, that sounds harder.
Welcome to America. Welcome to the United States. I'm just zooming out and hoping I can find it.
I'll get there. We'll get there.
I think it looks like a sea monster that's going.
Right?
A little buck tooth action there. Yeah. Okay.
I can see
that. This really hurts. All of what you guys have said has hurt really bad. The OZT stands for
Love You,
Keith. Operation.
Love you, Keith, and love you, Canada. Sorry. Operations.
Operation Zero Tolerance. Ooh, and it's in the comics. This is a strike force that has been created basically to, like, in secret.
Fuck the mutants.
To fuck up mutants.
It sucks, man. And that's what I love about the X-Men story, because it feels... I hate to say it, Handmaid's Tale. Like, it sounds like, it feels like this could happen. This shit could happen. And in ways it kind of is, you know? And so I think that's what makes the X-Men so endearing. So I don't know.
Different from others. Like, it's really, that is the challenge that they're constantly dealing with.
Right.
It's just acceptance in society. That's why you don't need origin stories to have a dramatic plot with X-Men stuff. Like, they're always going to have hate groups coming at them, and they're going to have to solve something that those people plot at them. There's going to be some, and when I say, you know, X-Men projects going forward, I'm not saying that they have to be all action and no backstory. I'm saying action and substance, just present and now, and you don't need to go into each character's but yeah, OZT stands for Operation Zero Tolerance.
Good stuff.
I feel like there were a lot of lines in this episode that really mirrored what you guys just said about, like, you can see it almost like happening, like it's not that fictional. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like,
right.
The line when what's his name's mom says it was your secret to tell, like, I feel like that was
Roberto
could have been ripped straight out of like nonfiction. Riots are the language of the unheard.
Martin Luther King. Yeah.
Beautiful quote from Martin Luther King. Beast had the great one from Mr. Rogers that was look for the helpers.
That's exactly what he'll
always
say.
Find someone helping.
As soon as he said that, because I watched a Mr. Rogers documentary, it was like an hour and a half, 2 hours. Yes. It's a recent one and it's fucking good. No, not the Tom Hanks movie, even though that movie is pretty damn good too.
Oh, that was ballin'. Mm.
It's a good movie. Yeah. But there's actual
ballin'.
It made me slut drop. But I will say, the Mr. Rogers documentary, there's one that just came out right around the same time as that Tom Hanks movie. It was, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And they talk about that quote. So when B said it, I immediately went straight to it. I was like, that's Mr. Rogers. Fuck yeah.
And the full quote is Mr. Rogers was talking about what his mom would say to him.
Correct.
When he was watching the news and something scary was going on. Correct. Like, you know, a big natural disaster, big war or something. Look for the helpers. There's always people who are going to help. And I do think that in the next episode, Beast is going to quote Barney the Dinosaur, and I'm excited for it in a different way.
So here's the thing. Beast got a little beastly there. He was like, hey, go fuck yourself. Don't fucking, you know?
Yeah, he did. He was mad at who's supposed to be his girlfriend, Patricia Tilby.
Okay, that was the question.
They eventually end up together, and I guess in the comics anyways. I don't know if we'll see that here.
Honestly, the way he just said, fuck that bitch, like he said it so impactful. He's like, fuck that bitch. Fuck that bitch. I'm like, wow, Beast. That, and he's like, he was quoting a singer of some sort. It was pretty crazy.
Bitches ain't shit.
Bitches ain't shit. And so, yeah, I mean, I know.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised how Beast lost it pretty quickly on her. He was quoting Mr. Rogers, and then five seconds
later. Passionate poetry fueled man.
He's, right, yeah, right. But you don't go quoting Mr. Rogers, then 5 minutes later, he's like, hey, fuck off. Like, you don't, like, that's not something usually if you're quoting Mr. Rogers, you're in an okay place. But Beast, he turned it on pretty quick. He's like, yeah, get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, begging for your tolerance was our first mistake. And then now forgive me, I dare not waste any more of your tolerance on me, Miss Tilby. Which was just like, damn, using her words against her quick.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you argue with such a learned blue furry man.
He don't give a fuck. He really don't.
Yeah.
Well, what was your question, Emmy? You said you had a question, but we answered it. I'm just curious what that question was.
Oh, no. Did I have a question that you answered?
You said that about Tilby and Mr. Beast, or Mr. Beast. Holy shit.
Oh,
and
Beast. Mr. Beast.
Fuck me. Anyway.
Just that that was the same reporter. That's his girlfriend reporter from the previous episode.
Okay.
Because I don't do well with animation.
All animated people look alike is what you're saying. That's what I'm hearing.
Basically, except for Beast. I can figure out who Beast is.
You animist.
Which one is he? Quick.
Blue. Furry.
There's three characters at least already
at least,
that I'm thinking
minimum.
Of.
Minimum.
Big blue furry.
Nice. Okay, that's Beast. Okay. Yeah.
Wow, that's body shaming.
Whoa. We went from animus to body shaming. There's a lot going on here. A lot to unpack. All right. Well.
All right. Before we completely move on from Captain America, I did have the thought right after she threw the frisbee. I was like, oh, well, he can just fly and shit, that fucked up his day.
He could just fly, and you thought he was Superman for a second. Well, you're like,
just for a hot second, because so many of the mutants can fly, so many of the X-Men can fly, that I was just like, oh yeah, he's got the fuck
yeah.
Yeah.
That really does suck. He has a bat cave.
Was that meant to be his?
Oh, no, you're right. That was where they took one of the white guys.
My gosh, I'm going to introduce you as Goldfish next episode, I swear to God.
No, you're right. yeah, okay. Let me tell you something that I didn't like that I know I should not care about, but the fact that Captain America wasn't voiced by Chris Evans, it was like, I don't know who this is anymore, I think, is part of... my fighting.
It was a different
my
cap.
Aggression.
It was yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of liked it because it's like, okay, well, if we need the celebrity in order for the character, then we're just gonna have Chris Pratt come back and he's already Garfield this month.
And Mario last year and
Mario last
guys,
year, yeah.
Guys.
Legos.
Guys. Okay. Legos. All right. Well, okay. I will say the voice actor that did play Captain America, I don't know who it was, so forgive me. I didn't see the credit there, but I thought he did fantastic. I really, really enjoyed his take on it. I thought it sounded really unique and similar at the same time, and I like that. I felt it was familiar enough, but also his own. So I got to respect that from a voice acting standpoint.
And it did separate it, because had it been Chris Evans, then they they on Twitter would be like, oh my god, confirmation that the MCU and the animated universe are Touché. All
true. Yeah, it would have like, started a damn
yeah storm. That's actually a really good point, Amy. And honestly, he's probably got the Mario sequel he's got to get to anyway, so like it's he's probably a busy man. So
yeah, I think Chris Evans is playing Link in Mario.
Well, no,
well, no, he's not really. Oh, don't bullshit like that on me. Damn it.
The Chris's are back at it again.
And Chris Hemsworth is playing Princess Zelda.
That's so good.
Three Chris's, two Nintendo franchises. We hope you enjoy.
So, yeah.
Chris Pine's like, I'm staying out of this one.
Staying yeah. fuck out of this. But yeah, I really enjoyed it very, very much so. So, oh, Keith, both hands up in the air. He's on a roller coaster or he's got a point.
Okay. Madeline Pryor.
Yes.
Confirmed dead, right? Because they thought they were going to find a telepath in that rubble and it was Emma Frost. Cool way of showing her manifestation of diamond transmutation, which was bitchin', because she does do that in the comics, but I never knew why a telepath can do that. But if you're crushed by rubble and then you get a new power, it turns you into diamond skin. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I always do. If do well under pressure.
If there's any
cheesy line.
Wow, that was good. If there's anything I learned about X-Men and superheroes in general, confirmed dead is not a thing.
Yes.
So yeah. I refuse to ever say that about any character, especially one where they can make some money off of. So, yeah.
Although every episode we go where they don't bring Gambit back, people online are shitting their pants going, I don't think they're going to fix it.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I'm no. Scared.
Is time travel not going to fix it?
You know.
It's like, look, Cable's still around. We have a chance.
Yeah.
Gambit's the best. You're not going to just forever.
And then come Rogue on, not attend his funeral. Come on now. That's all you need to know. If Rogue's at the funeral, he's dead. But if she's not, she's kicking Captain America's ass or throwing his frisbee, as Emmy would say, then yeah, no. He's alive. He's fine. He's going to be back.
He'll be back in a prevented reality or something, right. I imagine. Yeah.
She was at the funeral, wasn't she?
No, she was not.
Rogue was not. Jubilee had to tell us that with tears.
What are you watching, Emmy? That was a big plot point of the funeral.
Invincible.
For fuck's sake, Emmy. Get out of here. Just go somewhere.
Right. I'm sorry. I prefaced it already. You can't give me mean comments when I already gave the mean comments to myself.
But it was like a big plot point of the entire funeral. They talked about it. It's not like...
It's so her, not me. I saw her there.
No, you didn't.
Who did I see there then?
Someone else with different color hair.
There were other characters there. Some of them were the Teeves. And I'm not doing a bad Cajun accent, I promise, because the character himself doesn't do a great Cajun accent. But the Teeves were there from the Teeves Guild. And there was...
So a Dungeons and
Brother
Dragon.
Bobby and his old girlfriend Belladonna and this guy named Pierre. And they were from the Teeves Guild. The Teeves.
Did Belladonna look a lot like Rogue?
No, she had blonde hair, but there was a lady there with black hair with white streaks, and I have no clue who that was. Sound off the comments.
Was Rogue.
Tell us who that was.
But
it wasn't Rogue. She has brown hair, and they mentioned that she wasn't at the funeral.
I'm colorblind.
They mentioned that at the funeral?
Yes!
Yeah, Jubilee was like, I can't believe she...
He saved us. He saved her. Why is she not here? That was a big thing. And like Wolverine.
Oh, I thought she said, why is he not here?
Wolverine consoles her.
He's dead.
Wolverine consoles her and says, grief is a lonely war. Rogue has to figure this out on her own. Were you not listening to
Yar.
Yar, me matey.
Guidelines. Funeral guidelines. Good eulogy.
Sometimes you have to swab the poop deck by yourself to grieve. You know what I mean?
A lesson everyone needs to learn from a
every day.
In the funeral scene, did you guys realize that whenever Beast gets out his umbrella, he opens it up and it covers Morph, just Morph. Completely covers up his face.
Oh.
It was kind of funny.
That is pretty funny. I didn't notice that. I got to watch that again. Yeah.
I did notice that. I didn't notice that whoever I was looking at wasn't Rogue. Mm. Whoever it is cries.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. They're all crying. It's a
sad
funeral.
Mm. It is a funeral. Good.
One line
good catch
from
there.
The Jubilee Roberto subplot, because yes. any opportunity to not have Jubilee and Roberto at the actual big fights, because we can never see him fully sunspot, apparently. Mm-hmm. But they have a line where they're going off to tell his mom. And before that, she says, you don't want your parents finding out who you are on the 5 o'clock news. You don't want them burying a stranger. Mm-hmm. That was dope writing. It's a huge fan of that line. The idea that they're burying a stranger. Like, that's, there you go.
Yeah.
Come out to your parents if you can. There's the analogy.
I love that. That's beautiful. Yeah. Seriously.
But then whenever the mom also... going back to that point, whenever she's like, all right, we got to keep wraps on this. Like, we got to keep this hidden. We got to make sure that we're not, that you aren't seen associating with people who could associate you with mutants. And like, again, it's yes.
At least she knows that she accepts him, but she's just an asshole. And that's a good thing to learn about your parents as early as you can.
Like, at least she's not just a douche. Like,
yeah.
She's an accepting douche. I like that.
An accepting
It's purely
asshole.
Optics.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Go on, Amy. Sorry.
Ross and how I'm an idiot.
Wait, what? You glitched out for a second.
What the fuck? That was a mind
I've been
fuck.
Glitching out this entire episode.
Okay.
We talked about Ross, and whenever she's down there and Ross is like, I thought you were one of the good guys, and her line of, you killed those, sugar. I was like, fucking tear his ass up. Like, I was like, rage.
I'm gonna say it. That was the line of the episode, in my opinion. That was, I mean, I felt that. I really, really enjoyed it.
Personally, like, I think that her greatest line, she has the best line in the episode, but I think it's a different one. Mm-hmm. And it's the one where he says, she's holding on to Boulevard Trask and he's about to be dropped. And he says, I have nothing. And she says, same sugar. I'm pretty sure that's the words. Maybe wrong. Maybe I'm.
Yeah, same sugar was way more impactful. I agree.
Because she has nothing. And it's like, that's how she feels right now.
No, I.
But he looked back at her. I'm sorry, Brandon. I got to make this point.
No, please.
When she lets go of his jacket, he looks back at her like, how could you? And it's like, bitch, you just yeeted yourself off this building.
Yes.
She almost saved you, and you're going to turn around and be like, why'd you let me go? You were going down no matter what. Like, she just delayed it for a couple seconds.
I think it was Morph. Pretty impactful afterward. Morph says, is that who we are now? Is this who we are now?
Yeah. I think it's going to divide. I think the team is being split down the middle, and it happened the second Magneto was put in charge, and it's continuing to happen.
Yeah.
And I like that, because I don't know what will happen. There's been many versions of the team over the years, and it's cool to think, like even just having Nightcrawler on the team more, you know, consistently now, it's like the team is ever changing. And I think that's one of the reasons that could cause it.
Since we're stuck on dialogue, I apologize. Nightcrawler really, I love that he gave
the eulogy.
Yeah. But the fact that he gave,
Rogue the permission to grieve kind of.
Yeah. But he also gave I don't know what the word I'm thinking of, but like credit to Jubilee's concern, like, whoa, you know,
yes,
you need to hear her
out. She is right to be scared.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, because they were like, hey, oh, no, she's just grieving, and just kind of like the Wolverine, let's just brush this off and keep going. And I liked Nightcrawler saying, well, no, I think there is some cause for concern. And then boom, cut to Rogue kicking some people's ass.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought
you were not there, Logan. You did not witness
what
I did.
I thought everyone,
I don't know why he sounds like Werner Herzog for me, but
And it's funny. If you think back now, we've talked about a Cyclops line, a Morph line, a Rogue line, multiple Rogue lines, Wolverine, like so much good dialogue in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I just, that's the thing, embedded in all this amazing action. And there was shit ton of action. There's a lot of good beats happening from a dialogue standpoint. I just freaking loved it.
Okay. I'm going to argue with myself and with y'all again, just real quick.
Okay. Cool.
Best line of the episode was when Rogue said, this ain't that kind of probe, honey.
Yes.
Yeah. I got a little.
Yeah. That did it for you?
It did it for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's not about fighting. It's not a telepath fighting into someone's mind if they have some kind of walls up or something. It's I'm absorbing you, and now your brain's in mine. Like, it's such a different. Yeah.
Ooh, all right, Keith. Talk dirty to me. Okay.
Wow, Keith, I didn't need more of an erection. Thank you. Here's the thing. I thought one line that we're not talking about, Roberto calling Jubilee Jubes. I know we've heard it before, but damn it, every single time it makes me giggle like a little teenage boy. Like I'm like,
hey, all right, Jubes.
Yeah.
Jubes.
Hey, pubes.
Man.
It does sound like pubes, you're right.
It really does.
I'm sorry.
Don't call her Jubes. It just doesn't sound good.
There's a really good morph line that made me giggle as well. When they get to the Madripoor secret lair, trap door, and he's like, uber secret lair behind a busted vending machine. A game, bad guy. A game.
Yeah.
I like Morph a lot.
Morph is great. Morph is awesome.
I do really like Morph, and I feel like Morph isn't one that I knew. I didn't know him. But now I like him.
No one does. Yeah. He was barely in the comics. And then he was barely in the original show, too. He's
finally getting his time to shine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did. I once again had the moment where at that like final battle kind of where it was he turned into Quicksilver. And I was like, when the fuck did Quicksilver get here? Like, I am missing everything.
Yeah. And the one thing, it's funny because.
They don't show him morphing into the character. They only show him morphing out.
Yeah, true, true. And it was a moment where I had a nitpick. This was my big nitpick of the episode, really, if I had to have one. Because, and I can only imagine Brandon's gone to the bathroom, but
it's a big nitpick. Do we need to keep going or do we stop?
I'm cool with continuing to go. I mean, there's three of us. We don't have that luxury when it's just the two of us, you know?
That's true.
You know? The nitpick I have is that shape-shifting does not mean you get that person's powers. So when he turns into Quicksilver, I get that it looks cool. I get that it's cool that he did it. He had super speed and was punching like crazy fast. But the shape-shifting logic of it doesn't make sense. You can turn into somebody, but you wouldn't have this. So when he turns into people who have swords or he turns into people who have wings, those are physical things. But to have super speed just because you turned into someone with super speed. So that's all. I was watching the episode for the second time on the couch and my wife was next to me and I'm going into like my second or third minute rant on the logics of shape-shifting. And she, I have the screen paused on the moment where he's Quicksilver and she just turns to me and goes, and there's a cheeseburger on that billboard in the background. Yay! I was like, I have bored you to tears. I realized that. It's a stupid nitpick, but it's just one that I'm like,
well, and it's
shapeshifters can't just have powers because then they'd be OP. Right?
And it's so funny, and you're exactly right, but I won't lie, when I was watching the Quicksilver moment as it happened, I'm like, where the fuck did he come from?
Exactly! Yeah, walked away. Yeah. You walked away, and I was the same way. And I think that's part of what tricked me, was that he was actually doing the zoomy-zoomies.
And
that's
exactly what gets Keith on his high horse, saying that he shouldn't be able to do zoomy-zoomies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no,
I don't know how this chair can go any higher, but there it is.
Whoa.
Man. Cutting off your cat ears, man.
I mean, I will tell you. Yeah, there you go. There we go. But, I wish you would stop doing that shit, because it's getting my hopes up. It's like, fuck yeah, Quicksilver! Oh, shit. just stop doing that.
I like that they're able to fit more characters from the comics into it with Morph just turning into a bunch of people and people being like,
it's literally blue balls in me every fucking episode. It's like, stop, don't do that. It's like edging me.
Wait, so
it stops.
Did you get tricked in the, I think it was the second episode, whenever they're at the court thing? And
yeah, he turns into like five people.
Colossus shows up and I'm like, well, what? I haven't even seen him. He's a big dude to hide.
Yeah. It's so funny. It did. And I was like, wait, what? Where did he come from? What's happening with Colossus now? What plot thread are we about to weave now? And then it's like, oh, now it's Morph. Which, cool for Morph, but holy shit, if there is like a mortal, like they did like the DC versus Mortal Kombat characters and Capcom, like you have fucking a Marvel fight game and you just be Morph. Fuck yeah, you have every ability. Yeah, exactly to Keith's point. OP'd as a motherfucker.
Question. Yeah. Colossus, as I understand, is a big dude made out of metal.
Well, correct. Sad to me.
Facts.
So if Morph were to turn into Colossus, would he then also be made out of metal or skin that looks like metal?
skin that looks like metal, because he can have his physical strength because he can turn into something that has like body mass and muscles, but
disagreed.
I don't think he can have the superpowers. He can just look like he's made of metal.
Disagree. That's not a superpower. Same thing as, that's just being made out of a different material.
What's a superpower?
Can Morph turn himself? Like can Morph turn himself into a bench?
Yes.
Visibly, yes.
Yes.
He's not suddenly made of wood. He's still Morph. I mean, he might have wood, but that's besides the point.
That's a kinky bench.
Can we talk about another thing just to scoot along here for a second?
Of course.
The Prime Sentinels. So Bolivar Trask gets hucked off the building, comes back.
These lonely roads, the only road. Bolivar.
Would you say that he was 6 feet from the edge?
Well, I'm thinking.
And he was thinking.
Maybe six feet. I ain't so far down, you know.
Go down.
Creed, we love you. Show up on this podcast. We'd love to have you. Let's talk a little.
I don't know. Aren't they canceled or something? I can't keep up with
it. We can't keep up. But people have forgotten about it. People have forgotten Creed about Creed getting canceled. Come on.
The character design of the Prime Sentinels, with him being like Bolivar Trask comes back as the first Prime Sentinel that were being shown. And from the comic books, what Prime Sentinels are, they've been embedded with nanotechnology to become essentially a hybrid of both human and killing machine by Bastion. They're controlled. But the way that they designed it in this show, instead of the comic books, looks a lot like, and I know he kind of shit on him the other day, Sam Raimi's Evil Dead Deadites, with the glowing pupilless eyes and the floating and the twisting around bodies and the white dead skin. Like, that looked really fucking cool. And it just reminded me of that. But that's just me nerding out a little.
I never would have made that connection, but I think it did now that I think about it. Amy, nothing. She didn't even remember.
I don't know the reference material. What do you mean, remember? I'm sorry.
The reference material?
I'm going to show you a Deadite before next episode, and you're going to be like,
okay. Multiverse of Madness.
It's just like Bolivar Trask.
Multiverse of Madness. Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah. They did kind of Deadite in that a little bit.
Just a little
with bit. With him, Zombie Strange coming back.
Oh, Zombie Strange.
That looked a lot like how the Evil Dead movies do it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I didn't get the Evil Dead reference, so I don't watch.
That's all right. But yeah, that's what happened there. Is he says even like, I'm not going to let Mr. Sinister make me even more of a monster than I already am. And it's not Mr. Sinister doing it, but he has no idea that there are like hidden things inside him that are going to turn him into a killing machine after he dies. So that's cool as balls. I just thought it was awesome. Prime Sentinels are cool, and I'm learning more about them every day.
That's a really good point, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, that's his last line. And then, he eats himself off the building to stop that from happening. And then it's like, exterminate.
Yeah. And did you think that, the first one he takes out, I think, is Morph. And he says mutant neutralized or threat neutralized. Mm-hmm. Mutant neutralized. Did you think Morph was dead?
For a second, moment. And then they kept taking him out. And I was like, there ain't no way. Fuck. Beast and Jean. And like, it was like, all right.
Yeah,
Cyclops' crazy cool moment with Cyclops being like, stay down.
Yeah. Awesome. Crazy cool moment with Cyclops. Emmy, take notes.
Yeah.
But second.
Isn't that also a line from either?
It's from a lot of
Captain
things.
America or Iron Man. Somebody says that. One of them says that.
Oh, stay down. I think it's Iron Man that's saying that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's advising someone that's, I don't know. Or it could be him talking to Spider-Man in Infinity War, like, safe travels, kid, tries to get him to go home. I don't know. Could be wrong. I don't know. It all blurs together. Shit.
It does. Goldfish memories. Goldfish memories.
I will say, though, I thought the same thing. With the threat neutralized, I was thinking, huh, okay, well, I was starting to really dig more besides him blue balls at me every second. but then, immediately when they threw out their entire cast and they were all dead, if threat neutralized, is that what it meant? Quickly figured it out. But at the same time, that's not neutralized then. If he's got air in his lungs, any of them have air in his lungs, it's not neutralized by any chance. I mean, God, even if he's out for 2 seconds, these are X-Men. So, come on. Yeah, maybe neutralized is not the best terminology here, maybe like temporarily incapacitated. I don't know.
Well, that's what I think neutralize means, honestly.
No, it doesn't.
Eventually, like
neutral.
No, what is
neutralized?
Neutral. Yeah, like currently they are neutral because they're asleep.
Yeah,
you hit them over the head really hard, but in a minute they're going to be aggressive.
Kind of like Hawkeye with Black Widow in the first Avengers movie. She knocked his ass out.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, hit him really hard on the head, as she puts it.
Yeah, recalibrated him.
Yep, neutralized him.
No.
What'd you guys think of Cable?
Temporarily. Neutralized is what I was about to say. Temporarily. You're right, Emmy. Fuck.
There is no better word now that
we're terminated. Terminated or exterminated would have been
okay.
That would have been
too far.
Yeah. Okay. What was sorry? What would you say, Keith? What'd you ask?
What'd you guys think of Cable coming in clutch?
What I? There. Oh.
Do you know who Cable?
Oh,
is?
Oh, sorry,
Emmy. Do you know who Cable is? Do you know what he did?
Mm-hmm. And wait, what he did or who he is? Yes, to both accounts, I think.
You just had to say yes. Neither. You just had to say yes. You didn't have to elaborate since both was the same answer.
Yes, I. However, at the moment it was happening, it looked like they were taken through like a time portal somehow, and I was like, God, they just time traveled into the future or something. It didn't look because Cyclops and Evil Gene. Dead.
Boulevard Trask, Prime Sentinel.
I was going to say the evil dude. They were so close together.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were so close together that when Cable threw the can, I was like, whatever it does, it's also going to do to Cyclops.
Well, he's not made of nanotechnology, so it didn't. It should have fucked up his visor, though. Let's not get into this.
Scientific inaccuracies.
I love how Keith was like, "Nah, it really shouldn't have fucked him up, but it should have fucked him up though." Like, I just, and then he's like, "I don't want to fight with, I don't want to fight with myself. I don't. Let's just not fight."
At the very least, his phone is dead. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Damn it! I just got the new iPhone. Fuck. Shit.
The iPhone X. Cable sounds like Kurt Russell. And I like that he sounds like Kurt Russell because it's like he's playing this kind of Snake Plissken character from Escape from New York.
Mm-hmm.
This future traveling, you know, well, I guess he doesn't time travel in that movie. But anyways, he's from the future and he's kind of a badass in every way. So I like the voice actor doing the job of Cable. I want to see more Cable. And if we see Cable all the rest of the way in this season, I'll be happy.
I like that he's showing up literally just in the nick of time at certain situations. It's almost like he wants to just remove himself from the situation entirely. I'm going to go out of my limb and say, we need Gambit back. So I was going to say, I think we're not going to see him that much. But if Gambit returns, I think Cable's going to play a part of that. So never mind. He is going to be. All right. You're right. He's
we need
be a part.
Bishop back, too. That guy got one episode.
Yeah.
Two.
Do we?
Fuck.
Do we?
I love Bishop.
Yeah.
Who?
The guy.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I know who he is.
Okay.
He's the one that took the baby. Whose name is Nathan? I remember that because they said it in this episode. And that's the only reason.
Nathan's first name. Nathan Cable. Yes.
Yeah.
Nathan Cable.
Bishop took Summers. Cable to the future to the guy who Forge, who can travel 1 second into the future every second.
And you guys may have already
and make a mean bison chili.
You guys may have
chili.
You guys may have already said this, but I really like the intro. Like once they die, they're not in the intro anymore.
Same.
Yeah, fuck Gambit.
They get replaced.
Fuck Bishop. Fuck Gambit. Like it's like, wait, what? Like when I was watching this one, it really stuck out. Like not seeing Gambit. I was like, my God. Yeah. I just love that X-Men's like, we're going to keep going. I'm like, wait, no. I like them. It doesn't matter. It's like, just get on this ride. They're not on anymore. But I like them. Who gives a fuck? Anyway, it's good.
Kick down a wall with your face.
Yes. Right.
We don't
care. Meanwhile, Nightcrawler's in the opener. He's just like, I hope I am a fun replacement.
Yes. For this amazing iconic character. What if they had that for the Marvel Studios logo and then as soon as Iron Man died, they're like, fuck Iron Man. He's just not in the intro. He's not in the intro anymore. Like, just remove him entirely. I'm like, you guys are dicks. That's such a foul thing to do. Well, fuck that, Tony Stark. We're moving on.
Okay, so this episode, I was like, I've got to watch the intro because they always change it, and I always don't know what they've changed. Did they change anything this time? Because I didn't clock jack shit, except for, is it possible that the explosion before Cyclops was new? Or has that always been there? Like, at the very beginning?
That has always been there. Always I think the there. Change, okay, well then. I think there was a change with Lilandra, and Professor X might be in it a little more, and I think that there is a bit more Storm in her black outfit last episode.
Hey, guys, this is Brandon post-episode with a little edit note here. So editing. Keith, create the illusion that I'm doing this editing.
I'm writing the time signature down now.
Keep it down. Keep it down.
Oh, yeah. So that Brandon can come in and put that.
Emmy, shut the fuck
up. In post.
Emmy,
shut up. In post.
Oh, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to just do it now so I don't have to edit this shit. Okay. So this is Brandon in post making a quick note here. We have full-time jobs. We can't dissect frame by frame these intros and differences and shit like that. If you're thinking, what a mediocre pod. One,
what a bunch of hacks.
One, you're correct. Two, give us a fucking break. We work a lot. And this is a fun time for us, and we enjoy it. So cut us some slack. As Emmy said, we're all just three goldfish just swimming in a little bowl, just having a good old time.
And so, I have Wednesdays off, so...
Keith has no excuse. He has no fucking excuse. Keith, you're supposed to be our saving grace, damn it. I work 12 hours.
But by the time I watch the episode for the third time, my wife gets a little annoyed.
Ah, I can see that. I can see that. So anyway, that was Brandon in post.
Can you watch this by yourself somewhere? I'm like, no.
That was Brandon in post. Now I'm going to go back to your regularly scheduled program with Keith and Emmy. Here I go. Flawless.
What did you guys think of the mysterious bad, the big bad behind the big bad? This bad
was he mysterious? Because I remember hearing his name before, because I hear Bastion and I think of Sebastian, which makes me think of the Little Mermaid. Kiss the girl.
Kiss the girl.
Kiss the girl. Yeah.
So have we not heard this name before? Because that was the brain connection that has already been made.
His name is Sebastian, his full name, if that's...
Well, I would assume.
Yeah, but he's not a crab. Can we make sure we... Right? Well, no.
I thought his name was Rami Bastion.
Rabastion.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it Stefana Bastion?
I think... Well, okay.
I'm being an asshole, and I'm so sorry, Keith.
You're gonna apologize to him after coming at me the whole fucking episode and not apologizing?
We've got a rapport now. You might have been having babies, but we've got this thing going. We're like nice to each other.
Here's the thing. Really... Wait till you're friends with her for 20 years. You cut all that shit out. You just are just dicks.
I think I also have gotten meaner to her during that report.
It happens. it's an
evolution we're still working on.
I'm telling you, 20 years, you're just going to flip her off. She's going to flip you off. And you're going to go to sleep soundly. You're like, yeah, that's one of my best friends. Like, that's just it. You don't question it. I will say the differences between Bastion and this one, noticeable. He's not a crab. He's not a crab, and I can confirm it after looking at him.
He does have crabs.
He does. You can tell
he's very musical.
He's got pubic lice. You can see it.
One-eyed, one-horned, giant purple people eater.
Ah, purple.
That's what he calls his pubic lice. I
terrifying.
If you have Sebastian's on your downstairs, get checked out today. Get that shit figured out. You do not want crabs.
Yeah, la 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 la.
Kiss the bean.
My oh my.
Wind. Words.
Crabs.
I was going to say, Brandon, I feel like I didn't go as directly at you as I did. I was going at characters that you love.
I get it.
You're right.
But still, I told y'all I was going to be a grumpy Gus until testing was over, until May.
Until May, God. Well,
it's going to be May.
30 days past September, April. So next time we record, will it be May 1st? It'll be May 1st next time we record.
May 1st.
Okay, fuck yeah!
You have to do the same thing I do just to make sure that I know how many 30 days,
in April. Yeah. Every fucking time I'll sing that song. Yeah, shit.
You got to sing the song. People are like, no, you got to do your knuckles. I fuck that shit up every time.
It's 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest
have 31 except for February.
Because go fuck yourself. Yeah.
No. Keith.
Yeah. No, why would it be easy?
Fuck yourself, February. That's why they call it that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we've got one more.
What did you think of?
We got one more point to make. I think.
Do you guys want to learn a little bit about Bastion?
Yes.
A little bit?
Yes. Besides,
so he is. I've got a question after that too.
Amy, let him tell us, and then you ask your question. That's how dialogue works. You don't interrupt him to say, "I have a question," before you ask the question.
There is a moment, a scene between Sinister and Bastion. Sinister doesn't really speak nicely to Bastion, but he says, Bastion says, the tussle with the gene freaks have us invaluable, or given us invaluable tactical data for my real masterpiece. And then Sinister calls him a fool. Bastion says to him, you and the villains of old have been failing since 92 to squash these pests. What you do... he says, what you do is my roadmap for what not to do. And then Sinister reminds him that he was a villain of old once as well, because Bastion is an evolution of a character named Nimrod, mixed with a character, the big master mold creature that makes sentinels. He is an AI character that has been created over many versions to now be both human and machine. And he's now like this unstoppable mutant.
He's basically like Vision on steroids, on evil steroids.
Yeah, and from the future as well.
That's awesome. He's like, I love
that. He's fucking crazy popular. He came out in the comics in 96, so it wasn't really at all a thing yet that they could have adapted to the original series. So it's cool that they're kind of picking up where they left off, which is pretty neat.
I absolutely love that point there, Keith. Amy, I promise we'll get to your question. But I really love that the fruits of like their comics in 96 are paying off, because usually they like to trial run it and create a lore and everything and then give it a few years and all of a sudden, boom. They did it with Guardians for a few years. They did it with the Winter Soldier for a few years before we saw him in the cinematic universe. The fact that they've had this guy ready to go since 96 and really built a fan base around him and also a threat around him through the comics and introducing him in X-Men 97. Fucking, that's poetic, man. I absolutely love that. So that's just so fucking rad. I just had to... That's cool. Thank you for sharing, Amy. I apologize.
And he literally comes from a purple people mutant eater.
Thanos.
That's why he likes that song, I think. Nimrod, but sure.
Well, yeah, that's what Thanos I called Thanos when he made my hero snap. I'm like, you Nimrod.
What were you going to say, Amy?
Is it Nimrod the Himbo?
Yes. Nimrod the Himbo. This is if he had like... You know, if he wasn't a himbo, those were his himbo. That was his himbo era. If you want to go Swifty wise,
guys.
Yes.
And
okay,
now he's in his Bastion era,
guys,
where he's much smarter and he's got funding from the government. He's got the OZT as a group of
guys. I'm quitting the show. I wanted to tell you now. This is it. This is me officially quitting that joke. And then you letting it stretch out that fucking long afterward. I'm out.
I feel like you say that every episode.
Well, it's like true this time. Damn it.
Do you listen to our episodes when you're not on them?
I do not. I don't have time to listen to podcasts. I work. I
don't have time.
And I take care of my son and my
old baby podcast.
Baby card.
So a baby card. Did you see what I did?
You did it.
See what I did?
You did it.
See what I did? I got a baby. See, have a baby and use the baby card. It's fucking wonderful. All those parents that use the baby cards, I'm with you. Solidarity. One love.
Yeah. What do you guys think his plans are with Magneto?
I think he's going to fuck him.
What Brandon's are? To use the kid card. He doesn't want to watch anymore.
No, I think Nimrod's going to fuck Magneto. I really do. I think Nimrod's going to put his purple eater in his
damn. I mean, it's TVMA or whatever.
His pubic lice are going to go to work And he's going
to... Oh, no.
His little crabs are going to take over.
Kill the mutants.
Like, they're going to go everywhere, and it's just going to... It's going to be great. That's my prediction. No, I really don't know. I have no fucking clue. This whole series has dropped me on, like, a completely 180 axis, and I really don't know. And I kind of like it. I kind of like not knowing at mm-hmm. all. So I'm going to kind of leave agree. Myself waiting to find out instead of speculating.
My fear is that he's going, and I hope it's not irreversible, but I think he's going to turn him into a prime sentinel, just like Bolivar Trask. And Bolivar mm-hmm. Trask was like mm-hmm. a foreshadowing of this. So it's like, what if you did it with a mutant and he's got magnetic powers and he's an omega level? It, like, that's terrifying.
Well, and how do you, can you undo that?
Yeah.
You can't. Murder. That's so, how you undo that.
So hold on. To turn someone into a prime sentinel, you have to
yeah.
shave?
Well, yeah, to make sure that the skin beginning. Is soft and pliable oh. is what yeah. I think serial killers say. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, before yeah. they turn you into a goddamn skin suit.
The biggest kryptonite for, sorry to cross over to DC for a second, the biggest kryptonite for nanotechnology is facial hair. So you and I will be fine as long as no one comes at us with a razor.
Oh, me
but,
too.
But Emmy's
got
wait, a... Wait, get closer to your camera?
Emmy's got a little scruff. Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. Five, oh, yeah. Look at that 5 o'clock shadow.
I just shaved my mustache. We once had a teacher years and years and years ago that worked at my school that the kids mm-hmm. called mustache. She had blonde hair, but the kids that's still called her mustache. And I have been absolutely like, I will not allow, like, they can call me a fucking fat ass bitch. They can call me ugly ass hoe. They can call, but they. Jesus.
Wow. Oh, and she froze.
Oh,
she froze
man. For you? Yeah, she did. But
oh, and she's back. but they can't call you mustache.
I'll be damned if they call me mustache.
I just love that she came.
So your
back.
Electrolysis knows about this, and
I love how she skipped ahead to the future and she was waiting for us to join her. And then as soon as we got to her, she was like, "I did, oh, I did, I was in the future. I skipped ahead. Fuck off."
You have the same powers as Forge.
My powers.
Fucking rad.
Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, adopted sister.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue says that she is Nightcrawler's shitty adopted sister or something like that.
Yeah. She says the word, I think exactly, you really pulled the short straw in the adopted sister department, got that gal who goes bonkers over losing a boy. I was like, that's fun and reductive, but it's yeah. She so her mom is her adoptive mother is Mystique, and Kurt's birth okay. mother is also Mystique.
Okay,
so that's one of the reasons he's blue, I theorize. But
and Kurt is Nightcrawler.
Yeah. Yes, the one in the scene that you are asking about.
Okay, she okay. says that I didn't know his real name. I didn't know his real name.
Oh, sorry. Kurt Wagner from Russell. The Munich Circus. The incredible Nightcrawler.
Do you know Wolverine's name is not Wolverine, right? I mean,
it's that's
James
Logan.
James mm-hmm. James Logan, correct.
James and Logan. Okay, and I had to learn this episode. I had to learn that Scott's last name, Scott, aka Cyclops, right?
Yes, correct.
Yep.
His last name is Summers.
Summers. Yeah, Logan calls him that even on missions. Yeah. Their identities mean nothing. They're just constantly calling each other out.
It's so cool when your first and last name start with the same letter like mine does. And like every fucking Marvel hero, 99% of them.
You feel created by Stan Lee. And in fact, how do we know you're not?
And here's the thing. Name my son with the same initials. So he's got BB as well, which is really strong. Excelsior. And he was named after Peter Benjamin Parker. So there you go. Fun fact. My wife hates when I tell her that because she gets really pissed off about it. But anyway, he is named after old Spidey. She already agreed to it by the time we named him. So it's too late.
I got to change my last name to Condors.
But she's like, I was the one that thought of his name. And I'm like, sure you did, hon. Sure you did. I did some Men in Black like pew thing. Oh, it worked shit. So well, man. Works so well. She's pissed off listening to this right now. If you're listening to this, I'm totally joking, Renee. Totally.
She's kidding. She's about to slap you like Chris Rock.
Man, harder than Will Smith. Man, we went viral for a second and then Twitter took it down. Damn it. I'm so mad about that. Sorry.
Okay, I got one more question for you guys, and it was whenever Rogue goes to Blasis, Gyrick. There we go.
Yep.
Well done.
When she goes to his lab, and you see the butterflies and the beetles and all that.
Yeah.
And it just, it was like a visceral memory for me.
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys forced to do a bug collection when you were in primary school?
No.
No.
Oh.
You had a psychopath teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, grab a bunch of bugs, make sure they're dead, and bring them to class.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Some of them I had to put in jars and then put in a freezer to kill them. That was how I killed them. It brought back memories like of pinning bugs to a cork board that was in a pizza box. It brought back memories. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm a psycho.
That is so raw and disturbing. And I'm so sorry. Like, because
it might have been sixth grade.
I still think that's, oh my gosh, that sucks.
It is. I remember like I got all these different kinds of like grasshoppers. Most of them I did find dead. Like not squished, but just like dead normally.
I'm shocked you found them dead. I never find dead bugs, you know?
I've got a bumblebee right now in my garage. I need to leaf blow my garage.
I just love like I got a few dead bugs just ready to go.
Yep.
I've kept it up since sixth grade. I've been a psychopath ever since. I have a bunch of dead bugs that freeze.
But like honestly, like thinking about how I don't kill bugs in my own home unless if they're like gnats, which I don't think they have a purpose. Unless if they're outside feeding other things, and they're not doing that in my house. Mm-hmm. They're just annoying. Or mosquitoes, which spread disease, or wasps, which just are ouchies.
Yeah.
Flying ouchies.
So, I'm the same way. I don't kill anything that's in my house if I can throw it outside and bring it back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same exact way. There's sometimes, obviously, you can't.
Silverfish. I'm telling you, though, those are aliens that are just spying on us. Silverfish are not real. That motherfucker is not real.
Motherfucker is not real. He's not real.
I will kill a silverfish.
All right.
But no, I remember looking for like I had all these different kinds of grasshoppers and crickets, and I was like, I gotta get a camelback cricket. I had to have like 30 different kinds of bugs.
What in the flying fuck was this?
That like were all dead and pinned down to a pizza box that I brought into school. Camelback when cricket? I was.
Did you make that up?
No,
I didn't. that was the back of a cigarette box, I believe, when we were kids.
And that's what. Yeah, I just pinned down a cigarette box. And then, yep, one of the tiny hands holding the middle finger.
That's awesome.
And I was like,
"And you
fuck you, sixth grade teacher."
You squish a cricket with the cigarette box, and you don't hear it for a second, and then you hear, and then the cricket sound comes back.
Sound off in the comments below. I think I was in sixth grade because I remember doing a leaf collection. Did you guys have to do that?
No.
Leaf collection.
They only have maple trees in Canada. It'd be a very boring ass collection of leaves.
I'd come home in October and be like, I need a leaf collection to get a grade. My dad'd be like, well, they're all on the fucking boulevard. Go get them.
I remember going on walks to collect leaves for my leaf collection. We had like 2 weeks to complete our leaf collection.
I think we did have that. I don't remember it being as strict as it sounds you experienced, and I'm sorry for that, but I do remember a fun leaf collection adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, leaf collection in fifth grade with Miss Wood. RIP. I loved her. She was amazing. I strive to be the teacher that she was for me. But yeah, in fifth grade and then sixth grade, I had to do the bug collection, I think.
Speaking of.
Surely they wouldn't make me collect alive things before I collected.
Speaking.
No. That'd be advanced.
Speaking of adventure, I cannot wait for episodes 8, 9, and 10.
All right, X-Men Brandon, that's 97. How you do it.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. We hope you join us for the next installment of X-Men 97. And hey, who knows? I may be on 2 episodes in a row. Maybe things will happen. It'll be great. Emmy, are you excited about the 3-part finale coming up? I can tell.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you so much for joining us. I really
You know what we haven't done in a long time? Thinking about this today. We haven't done it in a long time, and the three of us on here today. Did you say wash your feet?
Fuck, marry, kill.
But yeah, that too.
What is it? Yeah.
With the three of us on here today. Sorry.
Yeah.
Three of us on here today. We haven't done a Boink, Bun, and Butcher in a minute.
Ah, that's what it's called.
All right. We got to do one. All right. One Boink.
Just bun. One.
All right.
Who you got? Who you got?
All right. Rogue Jean, Jubilee. Is Jubilee old enough to be in that?
Yeah, she's 18.
She turned 18 this series, so yes.
So I'm going to butcher Jubilee.
God, that was so fucking quick, Keith. I mean, damn.
Sorry. No. And, you know what? It has nothing to do with the age.
Not a thought behind those eyes. He was like, I'm just going to butcher the fuck out of her. She just
always looks like she's like with her gloves and everything. She looks like she's just ready to clean my apartment. And I'm like, damn, fuck off. I do that myself. So I'm going to say butcher Jubilee. Who is it? Rogue and Jean. Mary Rogue killed Jean.
You killed two of them.
Wow.
Wow.
Can I just marry and what was it? Boink and
Boink, Bond, and Butcher. You butchered two.
Can I just Boink and Bond Rogue? Butcher the other two.
Good luck boinking Rogue. That's all I'm going to say there, because that's going to be mighty tricky for you.
Gadams.
That's true. That's true. I would.
I don't know how you guys have been using condoms, but do your inner thighs
on my
not
penis?
Touch?
What?
Not when you're in that latex suit that I wear.
There, that's what you'd need.
Thank you. Yeah. Just buy enough condoms that you can make a suit.
That's why I call it the rogue suit. Yep. All right. So I would say Boink Jubilee, because fireworks would be going off like crazy. Be really fun. And I really would. I'd be like, can you do the firework thing? Can you do the firework as soon as I do it? Like, as soon as I go, can you do beep, 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 beep?
And like, can you do like a whiz bang when I jizz bang?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it would be so fun. Like, yeah. And then beep, beep, beep. So that is worth banging Jubes. And then I would bond. Bond Rogue in a heartbeat, because like I could listen to her voice all day.
You want to go out to eat sugar?
Yes, I do. I don't care. I would love to. Her voice is just like raspy and wonderful, and Dolly Parton, and it's like, I don't know, I love it. So it does something to my southern heart. It unlocks something that I really like. And then that would be butchering Jean. So following Keith's footsteps, but I would just butcher Jean. I wouldn't butcher both. Just butcher.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Because Jean's
I'm out of a little butcher happy there.
Jean's all emotional and shit. And she's like, did you love her? Fuck off, Jean. It's Aunt Jemima. I'm literally pouring syrup on my pancakes. Fuck right off. It doesn't have to be this emotional theater. Jean, shit. Fuck off. Anyway, sorry.
Do you love her? just pouring syrup, man.
Man, shut the fuck up. This is really not as dramatic as you're making it out to be. I should have married Rogue. Damn. Anyway. sorry. Anyway.
All right.
Amy, what's your thoughts?
I think I'd probably butcher Jean, as I said.
That's a three yawn. Butchered. Man.
Yawn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jean.
Yeah,
Madeline Pryor is cooler anyway.
Yes.
Why? That is so rude, but true.
It is.
I'd be so mad if somebody was like, yeah, your clone is so much cooler than you. I'd be like,
it's cooler.
That hurts really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You faint too much.
I'd probably Boink Rogue, because I think that
you've always wanted to do the latex suit, didn't you? You've always wanted to just be like,
well, no, yeah, I think that Rogue and I could make it work better than y'all could. if you know what I'm wink, 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 wink.
I don't think so at all. I think it'd be 10 times more complicated.
Okay. Well, okay. And so that means I would marry Jubilee.
All right. You're going to marry old Jubes.
Right. Yeah.
Now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. or excuse me, Mrs. and Mrs. Jubes. And you'll be like, yes.
Pubes.
Jubes.
Pew, pew, pubes.
Jubes, pubes.
Hey, Jubes, can you do your pew, pew, pubes?
It's a fun party trick. Wait.
He's just like, okay.
Well, we're getting divorced. Fuck this. all right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us for X-Men 97. We appreciate you so much. If you like the show, consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. If you're listening in the audio realm, Apple Podcasts, Spotify really goes a long way with helping out the show and getting eyes and ears on it. If you're on YouTube, like the video, subscribe, and give us a comment. Let us know your thoughts on X-Men 97 Episode 7. We'd love to hear from you and maybe speculate on the 3-part finale. What do you think is going to happen? We'd love to hear from you. And yeah, guys, if you want to support us, we are available on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok, while it's around. Avengers Podcast, one word, ABINGERS. Podcast available there. And if you want to support the show, consider we have a $1 tier available on our Patreon, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We really appreciate any and all support that you guys give. Helps pay our bills and keeps our lights on and keeps the show alive and well. So we really, really appreciate it. And that is it for the plugs today. We will be back next week with X-Men 97 Episode 8, Part 1 of the 3-part finale. And we cannot wait. Keith, Emmy, and I will be right back in your faces. And cannot wait to talk more X-Men 97 with you and all the Jube talk with it. Man, that scared me. But that is it for this episode. We have some credits names to get to. So we're going to throw it over to my two friends over here. Keith, did you get some good credits names for us?
Do you want me to go first, Ep?
I do.
All right. So this episode left things pretty chilly or chilling.
Oh, God.
I hope Alex brought his scarf. Then, my last one, I promise.
No,
thank you.
No, it wasn't.
So Bastion's voice actor was sitting in his room playing Fortnite for 12 hours. His mom had to come in and say, "Dude, need to lay off the vid Theo James." Vid Theo James.
Okay.
The fact that I got it the first time and Emmy didn't made me like it a little bit more. But then it also made me disrespect Emmy a lot more. It made me like,
you know what? Okay. My wife wrote that one, so I will tell her your mixed reviews.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, Emmy.
What's Theo James?
Be a minute.
Emmy, what was your credits names?
What do you got? Did I copy any of yours?
Nope, you did not.
Yes!
You did not. And you looked at the voice actors, which I don't know. Makes me second guess mine. I know. But you specifically looked at them and the fact that you didn't. Okay, all right. Oh. Cyclops, the voice actor for Cyclops is perfectly named. His name is Ray Chase. Ray, like the X-rays he shoots.
Oh,
he did. Eyes. I drew.
They're concussive blasts.
It looks like you crossed out Ray.
I drew a laser thingy on it. Okay.
Oh, I can't. What? All right.
Keith, nod.
No, yeah. Okay.
Just nod.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Keith won.
All right.
I feel like I'm on.
You know who lost?
Yeah.
Our listeners. That's who lost. So
I feel like I'm on Wild Now.
All right. Well,
I'm done.
All right. Well, we're done. Thank you so much for joining us for X-Men 97. We love you all. We will be back next week. Hope you join us. And if you want to watch, we reacted to the latest Deadpool and Wolverine trailer. Head over to youtube.com/TheAvengers. Fucking awesome video. We get to react to a trailer. Watch it. Let us know what you thought. Okay. We're out of here. Done plugging. That sounded weird. Emmy, Keith, any final words before we call it a podcast?
I am stoked for the last three and happy to have you back, Brandon.
Hell yeah. I've been going out of my head and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be because of you.